But I want during our time this evening for us to take a look at what has been described as one of the most potent and penetrating statements in all of the New Testament. And the more I've pondered it, the more prepared I am to agree with that description. For it not only sets out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but reaches to the heart and purpose of all Christian service and the extent to which believers will be of any real use to the Master. And of course, I'm speaking about verse 16. Paul writes in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." In many ways, the rest of Paul's letter to the Romans is an expansion on just that very statement. Romans shows us first from a doctrinal perspective and then a practical perspective why the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed not only powerful, but something that none of us who believe should be ashamed of. The statement was written by a man who knew only too well the cost of standing up for the gospel. He was totally unashamed of it, was Paul. We have a record of Peter's, well, let's call it wobble, as regards his denying the Lord Jesus Christ before the cock crowed, but at no point in the scriptures after Paul's conversion do you ever get any hint that Paul was anything other than bold, all out, full on, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the gospel 100% of the time. It cost him dearly. And when he did eventually end up in Rome, well, it ultimately cost him his life. A price worth paying was no doubt his attitude. But what a contrast, you know, it paints with things nowadays when many Christians act as if they really are ashamed of the gospel. Even ones that in their heart would readily say that they own the Lord as their saviour and agree with everything that the word teaches. Well, I don't know about you. I don't know how you feel about these things. But what we're going to do tonight is take a look at this statement in its context, dig into it a little deeper, and hopefully we'll be helped and encouraged not to be ashamed in any way when it comes to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to help us step through things, I'm going to give you ATs, by which, of course, in case you misheard, which you might have done, 8 words beginning with the letter E. I'm not going to tease you. 8 E's. We'll just hang our progress, if you like, through this passage on to help you if you're just taking little notes. So we're just going to begin, though, as we begin just reflecting a little bit more broadly on why Paul suddenly says what he does here in verse 16. Paul is addressing this letter to the Christians that are in Rome. And we can see from verse 1 that Paul not only regards himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, but that he was also called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel message. Paul was called, he was set aside by God for the express purpose of taking the gospel to the Gentile nations. And as many of you will know, he went around preaching the good news, establishing churches across all of the then known world. But Paul was also a Roman citizen. And having heard of the faith of the believers in Rome, we see that in verse 8, it's clear that there developed within him, within his heart, a longing, a deep yearning to go and see them. We see that in verse 10, if it was going to be possible according to the will of God. There were many things he wanted to teach them. And his desire to do so flowed from a yearning. And here's our first and second E words. It flowed from a desire in verse 11 that they would be established, and then in verse 12 that they might be mutually encouraged. Established and encouraged. That was his motivation. And what flowed, of course, from his pen and the rest of this letter reflects that desire that he had for them. The letter contains some of Paul's most detailed teaching, reasoning out many of the very deep Christian doctrines. And of course, it's become such a deep study for Christians ever since. He wanted them to be established in the faith, rooted deeply in it, that they would understand clearly the doctrines on which their faith stood. He wanted them to have a sound understanding of these things, an unshakable platform on which the church there would continue to grow. This is what he wanted. He wanted them to be established, and he wanted them to be encouraged, to want to go on, especially, no doubt, in the face of all the opposition and the persecuting that that church was having to face. I only have to mention to you the Colosseum, and you know immediately what I'm talking about. Paul knew their need, and he wanted to go to them. But in the meantime, he writes, and these things and the background of his longing for the believers there, well, they're all set out for our good here in 2014. We have challenges, distractions, opposition, things that we have to face. We need encouragement. We need to be established. And these things are all written so that you and I might be more established, more encouraged as regards our faith and indeed our boldness in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 15, then, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Knowing the risks, knowing the dangers that he might face, he's ready. For he says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Well, let's take this verse in stages as we look into it. And the next E word that I'm going to take the liberty of using is the word embarrassed instead of the word ashamed. I accept it's probably got slightly a narrower sense, but I think for us tonight it's more than sufficient for what we need to look at. Paul is saying here that he is in no way whatsoever embarrassed about the gospel. Some of you will know that I work for the Royal Bank of Scotland. And of course, RBS has had to be bailed out by you, the taxpayer. Our previous chief executive, well, he was sacked, and it's a long haul to try and get the bank back on its feet after the scandals and everything. But I never thought I would be embarrassed about the organisation that I work for. But it's become that way, and it's uncomfortable. And of course, if you've got a choice, no one wants to be associated with something that embarrasses them or makes them feel awkward. And therefore, as we look within our hearts and can consider our own attitude to the gospel, can it really be possible that Christians can be embarrassed about it? And if they are, even if it's only a little bit, or only at certain times, well, why is that? Why might that be? And can we learn anything here from Paul? Can we learn from him about how we would be helped not to be like that? Well, I believe we can. Because certainly he didn't feel awkward about the fact that he was a Christian. He didn't feel embarrassed about preaching it. Nor did he feel embarrassed about being associated with everything to do with true Christianity. You might even say that he was proud of it. He felt privileged and wonderfully blessed to have been brought into these things, so grateful, in fact, that he would do anything to promote its cause. I was reading a catalogue of what had happened to Paul because of the gospel. He'd been imprisoned in Philippi. chased out of Thessalonica, smuggled out of Berea, laughed at in Athens, regarded as a fool in Corinth, stoned in Galatia. 5 times he was given 39 lashes by the Jews. 3 times he was beaten with rods. And yet, he still wanted to go to Rome of all places. Why was this? How come he was prepared to be so bold, so fearless, so unashamed? You know, there are things in the gospel that might tempt us to be embarrassed. The scriptures teach us that to the natural mind, the message is foolishness to those that are perishing. The idea that the eternal Son of God should die on a cross can seem almost ridiculous to those that are perishing. We know, of course, that there was no other way for us to be saved. God loved us so much that he sent his Son, that there was no other way. But to them, it doesn't make sense unless God opens their eyes. And the gospel creates opposition. People don't like being told that they're sinners, that all their good deeds are worthless, and that their hearts are inclined to evil all the day long. It's a challenging message that will be opposed. And from that perspective, there is a lot to tempt us to be hesitant or to feel awkward. So why was Paul so bold? We keep coming back to him. Why was he so ready to publish the message at whatever cost? So unashamed, so unembarrassed about it. Well, Paul carries on there in verse 16. For it is the power of God unto salvation. This is it. The Greek word used here for power is dunamis. And it's from that word that we get the English word dynamite. And it's a very good word to describe the message. It's dynamite. And the gospel is explosive. There's my next E word for you if you're writing these ones down. The gospel is explosive. It's powerful. Herein lies the power of God to change lives, even your life. To transform it, to utterly turn it around. Acceptance of this message, it changes eternal destinies. Men and women, boys and girls that were once on their way to a lost eternity, to hell, heading for God's eternal punishment, can be gloriously saved through this message. It's a wonderful message. You and I are completely unable, we're powerless to save ourselves. But this message, well, it makes such an impact. It's so powerful. It can bring us to spiritual life where once we were dead. God has an unlimited amount of power. There's nothing that he cannot do. And when the gospel, his message to mankind, when it's preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, it is effective. And there's my next E words. It is effective. When you use dynamite as an explosive, I suppose it's possible that you can get all manner of unintended consequences, but you can't control that. Just because something's powerful, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily effective. The faithful preaching of the gospel, well, it can stir up all sorts of opposition, but the point is this, when it's taken up by God's Holy Spirit and used by him to convict a soul of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, it is effective. It does bring about the changes we've been talking about. It does bring people to spiritual life where once they were dead. It brings us into this settled, reconciled relationship with our God. And history is full of people that can have borne testimony to the power of the gospel. Even this evening, we could go around the fellowship here, couldn't we? We could find marvellous and wonderful examples of that transforming power that has worked and is still working in people's lives today. This is the explosive, effective power of God unto salvation. And Paul knew that it's this and this alone that can make the massive difference, because it changed the course of his life too. Maybe the reason why some Christians today feel embarrassed about the message is because either they've not paid enough attention to pondering these things. They've grown tired and are perhaps no longer living as close to the Lord as once they were. Or, unfortunately, maybe they think they're Christians, but have never really known the power of this message and therefore aren't really saved. It all turns on the level of importance you give to this message in your hearts. Just how important is the matter of salvation, both to us, to you as an individual, and to your friends, to your neighbours, to your family? How important is it? You know, the dictionary defines salvation as being saved from loss or calamity. And here we have our next E word, escape. The gospel is God's provision for the souls of mankind, providing them with a way of escape from his wrath. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are heading for loss and for calamity. All are heading for God's judgment. But hearing the gospel is our one and only way of escaping it. And it's all been made possible because of the cross of Calvary. God chose in his infinite love and his grace to punish his own son for the sins of people, for your sins, for my sins. The message of the gospel, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about presenting him to a dying world and understanding that he can, that he does make all the difference. He loves us, as does our Father in heaven. And God has demonstrated his own love to us in that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He shed his precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary, taking our place, our punishment for our sins. It's a message that should thrill the soul of every believer, a message that the Christian should rejoice in, and if he understands it properly, it will be a message that he knows needs to be shared and told out at every opportunity. We have a way of escape from the wrath to come. And here's my next E word. It's for everyone. The power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. God desires that none should perish, but that all may come to a knowledge of the truth, to eternal life. No one is excluded from the reach of the gospel. There's none too hard for him to save, if only they will believe the message and put their faith in that man of Calvary, the one and only Saviour for sinners. And John's Gospel, the appeal goes out, doesn't it, from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ to whosoever will. Everyone needs to hear this message. And the Christian church, well, we're commissioned to go and make disciples of all the nations. Whatever your situation, if you're here this evening hearing these things for the first time, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal saviour. You need salvation. You need to escape the wrath to come. Every one of us and everybody out there needs the gospel. How can we be ashamed of a message that does that, that changes lives, that has that impact, that has that ability to transform people and to save them in this way? My last E word this morning is found in verse 20 this evening. It's found in verse 20. And it's both a challenge to the unbeliever and a further reason, you know, why you and I need not be embarrassed or ashamed about the gospel. Verse 20 tells us that those that do not believe are without excuse. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We have every right to be bold in the gospel, because people's belief is inexcusable. Creation screams aloud that there is a creator, one that made everything to operate, to function in its place, one that daily, hourly, indeed every moment of our lives gives us life, gives us breath, sustains our body to keep us going. You look at the universe and the vast, unlimited expanse of space that there is up there, and it speaks to us of God's unending power. He is unlimited in who he is, in his ability. We're told that creation also speaks to us of his Godhead. In other words, his godlikeness or his divine nature. We see in creation God's kindness upon believer and unbeliever alike. We see God's faithfulness in creation. We see his unchangeableness in terms of the rules and the laws that govern nature. They don't change. God doesn't change. It shows us how utterly reliable our God is, how we can trust him, how we are left to wonder in awe at the mind that not only set these things in motion, but sustains and keeps them there as well. His majesty, his glory in creation, it's all there. They speak to us of who he is. And we are without excuse if we decide to ignore and refuse the truth of them. How can we possibly be ashamed or embarrassed of the gospel of the God that shows himself to be all of these things? The God that has lavished his love upon us, not even sparing his own son for you and for me. These things should be motivating us in the same way that they motivated Paul. Knowing then who our God is, and that the consequences of ignoring him couldn't be any bigger, surely there is nothing more noble, nothing more needful for the whole world than to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a vital message, an urgent message, and time is running out. Knowing the fear or terror of the Lord, we persuade men, 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. And what does it say in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let me just finish with one further verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. The words of Paul again. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. Paul knew Christ. He knew his Saviour. And because of that, he could testify, he could bear witness very accurately to the power and to the impact of that message of the gospel, of what it really, really means to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And you know, at the end of the day, it all comes down to your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking tonight about being shy or finding it difficult to talk to strangers. Many of us will feel that from time to time. What we're talking about here is being embarrassed or ashamed of actually knowing Christ and his message. Consider once more your friends, your neighbours, your family? What's going to happen to them if they don't hear about the Lord Jesus Christ? Who haven't you spoken to that needs to hear this message? And what are you going to do about it? I leave that challenge with you tonight. Paul was unashamed of that gospel. And what a verse that is there at the beginning of Romans. Can you say tonight, I too am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for I know it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Amen.
Okay.